Morning again, and we'll open our Bibles at the book of Genesis, chapter 32. Genesis, chapter 32. I don't particularly like getting up first, but this is just something I think might fit here. I remember maybe 20 years ago, with Murray McCandless, Brother Murray, down in Iowa. We were heading to Iowa to a conference, and we got stormed in Buffalo. And it was big hail that kept us down. I think Scott was there as well. And so the next morning we were leaving, and it was a foggy morning. And I know you might find this strange, because he's pretty with it, but Mr. McCandless got lost looking for the right runway. And so when the flight director finally located him, he says, "You're by such and such a runway, take off on it, but step on it. There's a 747 coming in behind you." And we could look behind us, and you could see those lights getting farther and farther apart. And I was saying, "Mr. McCann, let's get this thing rolling," to myself, and we got away. So anyway, there's a few 747s here, even maybe a 747 jumbo or two coming in behind me, so we're going to step on it and get out of the way. Genesis chapter 32, and the situation here is Jacob, he is going back to meet Esau, and he is very distressed. He has let go and cut the ties with Laban, and here he is, he's going to meet this brother of his that he is pretty afraid of. And we'll just read in chapter 32, verse 7 first. "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands," and so on. Now over toward the end of the chapter, verse 22. "And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over all that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.'" It's interesting that he even had to ask, but he did. Sometimes we can be pretty thick as Christians as to who we're dealing with, and it seems to be the case here. And he said, Jacob said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." He said, "Wherefore is it thou dost ask my name?" And he said, he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen the face of God. And my life dealing with, and it seems to be the case here. And he said, Jacob said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." He said, "Wherefore is it thou dost ask my name?" And he said, he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen the face of God, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." Now I have spoken of this before in another way, but I have enjoyed some fresh thoughts today, and it wasn't really what I was going to speak on, but it seems to have been laid heavily upon my heart this morning just to speak a little word about this in relation to Jacob in the development of his relationship with God, the development of his understanding of God. And here was Jacob. It was a very crucial time in his life. It was one of those crisis points in Jacob's life. As we said, he had cut the ties with a relationship, with a man, with a household, with, you might say, a corporation that he thought was, he just probably could never do without. After 14 years being linked with Laban and Laban's corporation there,
with every need being met, taking his two wives from there and all these children. He thought that was something, a fixture in his life that was permanent, and he would never be able to do without it. Yet it's gone. And now something else he never thought. He is going back to meet a brother that he likely never figured he could face. Never thought he could ever face Esau again. He was just too big for him. And so he let go of something he was too big to let go of. And now he's facing something he thought was too big to face. So that this left Jacob in a place of tremendous distress. I would like to think about a few things that he would have thought were not positive things in his life. But as they turned out, they became positive things. They were used in the development of Jacob. And I want to just speak to some who are younger tonight. And I'm 36 for a few more days. So if you're under 36, you're younger than me. And if you're, 45 is looking pretty young now too. So if you're 45 and younger, you can listen. And if not, just catch up on your sleep. But anyway, here he is. He's distressed. Is there someone here today? And that's how you've come to this conference. You are letting go of something. And you are facing something. Now, I don't know what it might be. There could be any number of things that you may be letting go of. That it may be that God is pulling you away from. And one by one, those ties, it has been a blessing for you, but it's time now to move on. And God is cutting the ties. Don't hang on to them if God's cutting them. But don't rush away if God is still tying you there. And here is Jacob, and he's at a time of tremendous distress, and he's afraid. Is there something you are facing? Maybe for some it is a university course or degree that you just are not sure if you're up to. For some it may be a relationship that you are going to renew with someone. Maybe it is something something that has come between you and someone else in an assembly. And you are conscious that you have to face this when you go back. And so there are things that maybe you have to face in life. And just at the start of this conference, just to get the perspective all right, this could be the very thing. This time of distress. You wouldn't choose it. But it might be of God's choosing. So that you could be developed for His purposes and in His time. That you might become more of a man or a woman for and of God. It was a time of distress for Jacob. It was a time when there was fear that was rampant. It was coming in on him. He thought it was too big. And you know what? He was right. He had been a rascal in the past. But there was a change in Jacob's life because of this time of distress. Because of this event that took place, there was a little something different about Jacob afterwards besides his name. But the name came with the change in character. And so it was a time of distress. You know, there are times that God brings us into a life that we really wouldn't pick them. But when we look back upon them, they were necessary things in our life. And we can look back on teen years and things that God allowed. Maybe they're not even, in some cases, the ways that God had would have wanted us to go. And yet when we went through them, and the distress that came with it, God was able to use it so that we were developed. And we came to know something more of God. So here at this conference, maybe there is distress that you are facing. But there's something that came in this time of distress. It was a Jacob who now sought the face of God. It was a Jacob who was willing to distance himself from all his people and all his things. You know how it was there in verse number 23. He took them and he sent them over the brook and he sent over all that he had. And so here's Jacob. He was one who was always willing to take an extra loop to try and make things happen for himself. He was the one who took by the heel. He was the supplanter. He was the one who was always reaching out and with his strength trying to bring out the purposes of God. He wasn't willing to wait for them. Yet here he is and he recognizes at this time of distress, there is a distance that must be placed between people that I hold dearly and things that I hold dear. And he sends them over the brook. Notice, please, that it is by the brook. Notice the proximity of this place that is chosen in the purposes of God where Jacob comes to. And it's near to the brook. And there's a distance from other things and people. When it comes to you coming to know God, you know, it probably will not happen if the people or the things you hold dear are always right beside you. There may be times when you've got to let go of your peers and send them over the brook. Or you go over the brook and leave them there. There are times when I know it is a crucial age when young people think that they need lots of other peers, lots of other people. They need people to lean on. And there's a sense in which that is true. But there is a different sense in which, of utmost importance, this truth that there is a distance placed. That you want to know what it is to be alone. So that God can speak with you. So that other things. Maybe your phone is always being texted. There's always the buzz or the ring. I was talking to someone just recently, and about an hour I spoke with him. I think it must have been 10 or 20 texts that came in, and he would take them and look at them. You know, he wasn't, for that moment, talking with me. It was an interruption. He was looking at his text. There may be times when you'll have to silence your cell phone or turn it off and put it from you to close out those texts so that you can be alone to hear the voice of God. It was near the brook. Listen, this book is like a brook that is full. It's always running. It's good for cleansing. It's good for reproving. It's good for refreshment. It's good for all kinds of things. And the sooner in life that you know what it is to put a distance between you and people and things and get alone, all alone, so God can speak to you, the sooner you will develop for God. There was a distance. But you know, there was something else that he wouldn't have picked, Jacob. It was darkness. He couldn't see. The darkness closed everything else out. And here he is. He is distressed. He's put that distance. He's sent all of his things over. And here he is in the dark. And he can't see beyond his hand, you might say. You know, there's something about a life of faith. You know what it is? You cannot see 10 steps down the road. You can just see what's close to you. It's the principle of faith. If you want to understand everything that's going to happen in life, if you want to know everything that's going to come at you in life, then a life of faith is not for you. But there comes a point where when there is darkness and you just learn to trust in God. And that's something we're continually tested on. And I'm sure if you spoke to some of these older brethren and sisters who have been on the road for 50 or 60 or more years, they would still tell you the same. An 80-year-old who has been on the road to heaven for 60 years still has to know what it is to trust. He still has to live a life of faith. He still has to have the times of darkness. And Jacob, though he never would have chosen it, is going through the darkness. You know, really, sight is perception, isn't it? And that's what was restricted with Jacob. Jacob liked to see what was coming. That's why he tried to make it happen. He liked to make happen what he knew was going to happen in his way, in his time. But you know, it's interesting, this little event that took place. Jacob, first of all, perceives a man wrestling. What's that? That's an earthly thing. All he perceived was earthly things in the darkness. But you know what happens before it's over? Jacob perceives the face of God. You see, there may be times of darkness. There may be night seasons in your Christian life. I don't know what may cause it. It could be sickness. It could be fear of sickness. It could be just your peers, those you go to school with, when they're not treating you just the way they should. It could be maybe problems at home. All kinds of things can cause darkness in your Christian experience. But it could be that God is bringing that so that you could be developed in your perception. And in the darkness, you may only perceive the face of a man. Just earthly things. But if it is of God through time, and with you trying to grapple with this and wrestle this through and not letting go of it, it could be that through time, and it will be, that you will perceive something that is not just earthly but heavenly. And you will develop in your perception of God. You will learn something of God in the darknesses of life. So here you are at a conference. It's an excellent place to hear the voice of God. And it may be that you have come And while it is daylight and these fluorescent lights are burning, it could be that in your soul there is darkness. And you're wrestling. And as if the darkness and the distance was not enough, here is Jacob in his distress. And there's this man, and the distress is deepened, and it becomes deeper and deeper. Now there is a man that is wrestling with him and grappling with him. And Jacob learns something else. A Jacob who had sought to make his own way in life. Now he learns in the darkness something of dependence. That was really what his first name meant, Jacob. It was the heel catcher. The one who right from the womb took a hold of Esau's heel. Not willing to let someone else get ahead of him. Trying to make things happen by the strength of his arm. And yet Jacob learns. He goes into this being Jacob. And he's wrestling as if it all depends on him. And he stays all night wrestling with this man. And yet when the day was beginning to break, it dawned on Jacob that it was dependence that was important. It's not what he chose for himself. It's not the way Jacob liked to work things out. But Israel was a prince with God. Israel was one who was linked with promise. Israel was one who moved in faith, who believed God. And here's Jacob, and he's learning what it is to be in Israel. One linked with God, to live a life of faith. And he learns that primarily, my strength has to cease, and God's strength will work. And here as he wrestles, and he wrestles and he will not let go. And even before he let go, this one that he wrestled with touched the hollow of his thigh. The word for hollow is the thought of a dish, so I would have to think that it was right at the joint of the thigh. You know, for a wrestler, I don't think there's any part of the body that is more important in wrestling than the hip, the joint. A man who has poor hips could never wrestle. I remember in junior high school, and they taught us wrestling, and of course, just what any junior high student would love, a chance to get someone on the mat and try your best to flatten them. It was fun. And that's what you tried to do. You tried to get somebody in your hip, but you didn't want to get on somebody else's hip. You wanted to guard your hip. You wanted to keep that for the moment when you could use it. Then you just bring it in, you toss that person, you pin them on their back. That's what you want to do. Do you know what Jacob realized? He couldn't get God on his hip and toss him. You know what God did? He touched him. It only took a touch. And Jacob's, the sinew shrank. His strength was gone. You know what Jacob has to do now? There's just one thing left for him to do. It was hang on. What's that? That's dependence. So today here it is. Distressed. Distanced from all others and things. In the dark. Maybe this is where God is bringing you, and you've wrestled your way through life, but now God wants you to hang on, to depend. To depend as if it all depends on the other person instead of yourself. That's really what prayer is. That's really, it's to pray with the perseverance, with the desperation, as if it depends on you. But you know what you realize before you get your answer? That it all depends on God. All of it. So Jacob learned to depend. You know what it caused in Jacob? Something else he never would have chosen. It caused a limp. Do you know what a limp is? He halted on his thigh. Really, there was a delay in Jacob's walk. That's what it caused. He never would have picked it. Just like any of the other things, he wouldn't have picked it. But there was a delay in Jacob's walk. As he walked after that, there was the limp. One side seemed to lag. There was that delay. You know what a limp really is caused by? It's caused by two sides that are not equal. That's what a limp is. Listen, I'm looking into the faces of Christian young men and young women. And you know what? There's something true about you, if a genuine Christian. You have two sides that are not equal. Two sides of strength. There is the fleshly physical side. And there is the spiritual side. And the fleshly side hates to shrink. The fleshly side always wants to be puffed up. It always wants to be big. It always wants to be strong. But the spiritual side will shrink from the touch of God. It will be seen to be what it is. It will be seen to be small, recognizing the need for dependence. So here you are. It won't be a bad thing if in your life there is a delay in your walk. There's that one side, because of two sides that are not equal. You learn what it is to kind of have that halting gait. Maybe you think it's a disability that you have to pray about things. But you know what it is? It's a halt. It's a wait. It's a delay. It's a good thing. If you are one of those kinds of Christians that have to pray about things before you move. Oh, the other side won't wait. The other side surges on ahead. But the spiritual side, if it has been touched by God, know what it is to halt and to wait for the confirmation of God. Maybe today you're here and you're praying about something. Maybe you're praying about that horse Boxster. It's a good thing if you've got the halt. And the side surges on ahead. But the spiritual side, if it has been touched by God, know what it is to halt and to wait for the confirmation of God. Maybe today you're here and you're praying about something. Maybe you're praying about that horse Boxster. It's a good thing if you've got the halt and you're waiting. It may not be the mind of God that you get that. But if today there is a relationship that's trying to happen, and you know it's a good thing for you to have a partner, a life, and Scripture says it is, if there's one meant for you, then it is a very healthy thing to have a halt in your gait. To stop and pray and wait. Don't you move into a relationship before you are sure that God is in the thing. You know, I'm not setting myself up as a spiritual example, but I'll tell you, there's one thing that I am so glad I knew. Before ever Angela and I so much as, you know, I'm not setting myself up as a spiritual example, but I'll tell you, there's one thing that I am so glad I knew. Before ever Angela and I so much as went out on an official date, I was convinced of one thing, and I didn't know it, but so was she. She called me her turtle because she prayed for 3 years waiting for me. Well, whatever the case, I'm glad she didn't forge ahead. She waited. And I'm glad I knew before I went ahead that I was absolutely convinced that she was the one that God had for me. You know, it makes a difference. It helps you in life. When you're going through life together and maybe things get a bit rough, to know for sure that she's the one. And likewise for her, because she likely has a rougher life than me, living with me. But whatever the case, to be convinced by God. You say, oh, that's kind of old-fashioned. Do you think God still really works that way? Would he tell me? Yes, he will. But you won't get it if you're just going to surge ahead on the fleshly side. You know, there's something that will restrict you and hinder you in your relationship with God and in your relationship with someone else. If you let fleshly desires and lusts and attractions surge ahead of spiritual desire, it's going to be a hard thing to cut the ties if you find out this is not the one for me. Far better to wait, to curb those desires and wait for God to show you. Then you will know. Then you can go ahead. It may be a disability to you to have that delay in your walk. It may be a tremendous, almost like a pestilence, something you just don't want. You're always looking at others. And they've always got to wait. They're always behind. They never want to have fun with us because they're just waiting. It's not a disability, dear child of God. It's a good thing to have that halt in your gait, to have that wait, that limp, those two sides that are not equal. To be touched by God. May every one of us at this conference know what it is to have the touch and the hollow of our thigh again. That we might again have that sinew that would shrink. And know what it is to wait for God rather than surge ahead. There was the delay in his walk. But you know, at the end of the chapter, about verse 31, he passed over Peniel and the sun rose upon him. And he halted on his thigh. There was the dawn of a new day. You know, there's something about us, and maybe it was that way with Jacob. He had spent a hard night. And I'm wondering if that's one morning when he really didn't want the sun to rise. Maybe what Jacob wanted was just to slumber and sleep a while and rest up. And yet he couldn't stop that sun from rising. Listen, you may spend a hard night. You may go through the darkness. You may have the delay of your walk.
But listen, it could be that as this conference comes to an end, the sun will be rising for you in a new day. Don't resist it. It could be an entirely different day. Do you know what Jacob said about it?
About that night and about that day? He said, he called the name of the place Peniel or Peniel. Do you know what it is?
The face of God. Because he said, I have seen the face of God and my life is preserved.
Jacob likely had in mind the fact that he had come face to face with one from heaven, with the very face of God. He had wrestled with him and somehow he survived it. But more than that, this had an effect in Jacob's life. This changed him. This made not just a night, but a dawn. The sun rose upon him. Now there was an entirely different day, characterized by different things. He went ahead and he met Esau, and everything went fine. Maybe for you, this conference, it began in darkness, in distress, in distance, in all those things. But it could be that as it closes, a new day will dawn.
And you'll be able to say, Clements Vale 2009. You know what? There's people in this meeting, and I think when we say this, their mind will go back to a conference, to an event. And maybe for you, the Clements Vale 2009. I saw the face of God. And as a result, my life was preserved from being wrecked by Satan and fleshly desire. Oh, that every one of us, as we begin this conference, might have a desire to go through what God wants us to go through, to learn the things that God wants us to learn, that a new day might dawn. And we too might be able to say, because of this conference, my life will be, by the help of God, and looking back on, was different thereafter.